This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Week 3 kicks off tonight. Santa Clara, don't call it San Francisco. Danny Dimes without Saquon, the whole entire right side of his offensive front. He's been sacked, boys, 10 times already. Here comes that San Francisco defensive front. Bosa, Drake Jackson, the whole entire crew. We'll get into it. Thursday Night Football. Of course, we welcome you. This is Sharp Money. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw, is back. And they moved across the street from the D over to Circus Sports. And we say hi to the dangerous duo. Amal Shaw, what's cracking?
Not much. Ready for a game that should be entertaining for about a quarter and a half tonight.
Well, it was, we'll get into it. It's a tough spot. It's a ridiculously tough spot for Dimes and the Giants. Dustin Sweetelson, you grew up as a youngster. I would imagine a bigger youngster, but a youngster nonetheless. Yeah, and you were a Giants fan growing up.
Husky.
Still a Giants fan. A tough spot for your boys tonight.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? I'm feeling good. And it's not just because of the football. And good God, I look fat in that shot. But Stormy Bonantoni, I ran into her on her way out, my way in. She said something to me that this shot actually confirmed. She said, I miss your face. And according to this shot, the only thing worth missing on me is my face, because the rest of it looks really rough without a jacket on.
By the way, okay. She's the first person ever to do sidelines that's visually impaired. Nobody ever said that ever.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
With a low-key joke to start it, crushing the big guy. Let's go. 9.5 with the look ahead, boys. Yesterday we sat here, it was 10, and now Amal, it's moved through the 10.5. You got a total of 43.5. I've got about 20 props I'm playing on this game. We'll get into those. Dustin probably with a first half play here, but we mentioned just a ridiculously tough spot for the Giants, who failed them all to score in the first six quarters and then exploded in that second half against Arizona to save a bunch in the Survivor contest there behind you at Circa. 31 points in the second half. However, they're going to be without Saquon, who accounted for 23% of the total yards through 2 weeks for the Giants. And then maybe even a bigger deal, especially against this pass rush, and that is no Andrew Thomas, no left guard for the Giants. Just a ridiculously tough spot for the Giants tonight.
Yeah, not exactly the team you want to be facing off against, having a depleted offensive line. You mentioned it. But, you know, to me, this is just a bad overall spot. Now, the only benefit they have is short travel. Remember, they stayed on the West Coast. They go up to San Francisco from having played in Glendale, now in Santa Clara today. But, Patrick, I wanted to ask you a question. Dustin, same thing. To me, guys, this is going to be a game where I don't know, first of all, Patrick, where you are on Daniel Jones. But I think this is the game where he can really earn the reputation of getting that $40 million deal, because I thought he benefited a lot from Saquon Barkley being in the backfield. Big threat running back, even though the running back position's been diminished. I think he can give him an opportunity to really showcase what he can do tonight without Barkley. And then this Giants team, to me, they don't have the wide receiver play. I know they look good in that final two quarters. But guys, let's not forget the first six quarters of this season, this team failed to get even one field goal. There's a lot of deficiencies with this team when I see it.
And you mentioned Daniel Jones, who, if we're being fair, it's been quite a dichotomy, because in that second half, he carried the Giants. He willed them to the win in Arizona in the desert there. 259, two touchdowns and a rush touchdown in the second half. But Amal, to your point, wasn't very good previously. He doesn't have top tier weapons. I think Waller's a prop to look at, 4.5 on the receptions tonight, because what San Francisco likes to do is they play everything underneath. You can pick up some yardage against them, but you're not going to hit anything explosive. But back to Jones, 1-11, boys, straight up in night games. Don't know if it's anomalous, but 1-11 straight up in night games. You mentioned the travel spot. Good job, Amal. They did stay out here and traveled up on the short week to San Francisco, but not a great omen when you take a look at that. 12 games played in primetime at night for Danny Dimes. And also, let's be fair, guys. Like, this is a team when they play good competition. Didn't they close out with the two last year against the Eagles? Got absolutely pummeled. They got beat 40-0 to open the season, big guy, against Dallas. So against better competition, Dimes And the Giants, not necessarily great.
Yeah, you mentioned it. 1-10 record primetime. That is the worst for any quarterback with 10 starts since 1970. He's winless as a double-digit underdog in his career. That's 0-7. They are catching 10.5 tonight. 17-6 against the spread as a road underdog and 4-3 ATS as a double-digit dog. But even me, someone who loves to take some shots and do some wild betting, I cannot in any way, shape, or form find a way to back the New York Football Giants tonight.
But Patrick, I just want to add to that 1-10 number you guys both just gave, and you talked about playing primetime games. Has there probably been an inferior team than the New York Giants with Daniel Jones overall talent-wise going up against Philadelphia, Dallas, a plethora of other teams that you play in primetime on a Sunday night or a Monday night or a playoff game? It's always a challenge when you're facing off against better teams. I just don't think he's had the teams to be on the same level as some of this competition. And then again, I know Dustin and I are kind of, this guy's a guy. But Patrick, where do you come out on him? Because to me, this is a great opportunity to really show he's justified in the 4-for-160.
I'm in the minority. I freaking love him. And Dustin, you know, I saw him play probably twice at Duke. So I'm not going to pretend like a Mel Kiper over here with Danny Dimes at the top of my board. Okay. But okay, let's just use a comparison who we saw on Monday night. If you two straight up were to take a look at Kenny Pickett skill wise and Daniel Jones, to me, they don't play on the same field.
No, I think that's again, totally spot on.
Jones, it's Slayton, it's Hodgins, it's Campbell. Yes, the addition of Waller, and yes, the rookie's explosive them all. I just think skill set wise, I think he's weird. I think he's a bit of a robot. I think Daboll absolutely hates him, loathes him. We saw that in week one when he kept him out there to get crushed by that Dallas defense. But I actually think he's better than average, and I'd put Pickett below average. There was juice coming out of the pre for Pickett. There was no juice after he signed that big contract. And that's another thing, Amal. These quarterbacks get crushed when they get paid market value. And that's what's happening right now with Jones.
I think you bring up an excellent point. That's where I come in with the issue with Daniel Jones. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I just don't think he's on par with the other people making $40 million. Fair. And I think sometimes it's hard to accept because then you look at the rest of the team and you sit there and say, maybe we could improve our offensive line. Maybe we can improve other parts of the defense or other things if we're paying other people. Instead of paying him 40, if you're paying him $20 or $25 million. I will tell you right now, if he's making $20 or $25 million, I'm not even asking you that question.
You know what? You just came up with a great bit, a lateral bit over the next 3 hours. Let's start secretly, the three of us, start writing down quarterbacks we'd prefer in front of Jones and see if we all land in that same sweet spot. You understand?
We're going
my
with the other 31?
My assumption is, I'm sorry?
We're going with all other 31?
Just shut up. Yeah, my assumption, and I want to go back to one in particular with you, big guy, as a Giants fan. And again, this is a ridiculously tough spot. Amal and I have highlighted it's a third defense as far as EPA per play on defense. They continuously rush the quarterback. So again, not a great spot. But if you were just to take Pickett and Jones, you have not been an overly supportive Jones guy as a Giants fan. Where would you go there?
Well, I think I've had a tumultuous relationship with Daniel Jones. You and I were on the air when he was drafted. I yelled a lot. You told me to settle down. I started to fall in love with him when he made the comeback his rookie year against Tampa, and I thought we had a mobile weapon. Then we had moments where he'd pop and moments where he'd look lost. And in the end, I think it's a combination of things with Jones. I do think he's limited, but I do think he has a skill set that can be successful if schemed up the right way in the NFL. And he's actually a pretty accurate passer. Doesn't have a huge arm, but he's accurate at getting the ball to guys. The issue with Jones is not so much Jones, and it's more that his offensive line has been horrendous since day one, step one, and he had to go through so many coordinators along the way. I still don't know at this point, after him getting that contract and making $51 million a year, if he is good or bad. Like, I'm still on the fence about Daniel Jones, and we're at this point in his career. I think that's my biggest issue, is I go back and forth every single week. We're like Sammy and Ronnie in the Shore House, going back and forth. We're dating. We're not dating. I'm making out with random girls at the bar. There's a note left on my bed. I'm in trouble. She's going to break up with me. I don't know how I feel about Daniel Jones.
What the hell is wrong with you? All right, so what we're going to do is a Daniel Jones survivor. When we return from the next break, we're all going to give one quarterback we'd select before Daniel Jones. And then coming back from each break, we're going to give another quarterback until we enter Daniel Jones territory.
And we all have to agree. We all have to agree on that.
I'm going
to
tell you, we have to agree with it.
I'm going to tell you my first pick is going to be Desmond Ridder. I think he might be better than Daniel Jones.
Okay, take it easy. Take it easy. Now, if I were to ask you both, let's just say I set the number for Jones at 18 and a half.
I'm going under.
I think I'll go slightly under. Yeah.
Can I just hit you both? Okay, so just get ready because it's going to be pretty simple. We can use Rodgers in the mix as well. Okay, I'll even allow that since he did take four snaps this year. You're welcome. I want to throw quickly before we go to break because I've got a ton on this game. I want to throw a quick prop at you guys. Waller today, 4.5. You're getting plus money over at DraftKings. 4.5 receptions for the Giants tight end. He leads the team with 20% target share. The 49ers, if you see what they do defensively, kind of create that shell. They force everything underneath. Everything underneath. You can pick up yardage. You're just never going to explode against them. So I like him tonight. 4.5 is the number. You see the plus next to it. That's juicy. I'm going to go over 4.5 for Darren Waller tonight, big guy.
Well, I like that a lot. I have a bet similar, but it's similar thought process between us. And it's the fact that they're going to have to get the ball out quick tonight, right? That front for the 49ers is going to be up in Daniel Jones's grill. There's going to be a lot of short intermediary. Is that a word?
Might be a word, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking for. Shorter routes today, get the ball out of his hands quickly. And I think Waller plays a role in that. Last week in the second half, he started to figure out what he had with Darren Waller. And I think they showed some chemistry. So I really like that play for you.
Amal, you cool with that?
I am, because if you look at the one flaw right now, it's only two game sample size. The 49ers are 23rd in pass yards allowed. Now, they did give up 297 passing yards against the Rams. That's a little bit of an anomaly because they were throwing the ball late. I'm not as concerned, but I think Waller could have a game here. And there's going to from my perspective, there's going to be plenty of drives to throw the ball for the Giants.
Intermediary, I think we start to get to litigation. That's Amal Shaw's corner.
There's bankers involved or something.
Laughing because he'll cry if not. When we come back to Jones Draft, Survivor, Circle, what's up?
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, we've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSIN. Be our intermediary and help us win. Use the promo code SHARP. It's cracking, big guy. 10% off the VSIN Pro annual subscription right now. So what I'm told, Goulet hit us up and said, Sharp Money's doing pretty good with this contest. How about we keep it going? Help us out. VSIN.com/subscribe. So again, bragging rights on the line. Also $1,000 future play as far as the Super Bowl. So it's fun. We're going to get you to sign up, become an annual subscriber. That'll make you money. And then a little competition amongst friends here at VSIN. It's VSIN.com/subscribe. Got a Thursday nighter tonight. People will bitch about too much football. We don't need Thursday night. Yes, we do. Let's get it on the TV. Let's go. Santa Clara, don't call it San Francisco, is the host. San Francisco, that freaking team is loaded. Because if you think about it, boys, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. If you think about Brandon Ayuk not playing. So there's a couple different elements with Ayuk, and then we'll get to the Daniel Jones Survivor draft in just a second. So you know what the Giants like to do on D? They play man because Wink likes to blitz nonstop.
Loves it.
And against man, the receiver for Purdy is Ayuk. So you would say, okay, a little bit of an edge here or a matchup advantage for the Giants. No, because it's an embarrassment of riches talent-wise. Debo, McCaffrey leads the league in rush. And by the way, McCaffrey, we'll get into his prop because did you see the comments from Shanahan? He was like, yeah, I'm not using McCaffrey tonight. Just to let you know, we've used him to the tune of 20 rushes against the Rams, 22 rushes against Pittsburgh. We're overusing him. We're shutting him down tonight. Your finger up. Go ahead.
I have a prop related to that. So on top of just the CMC usage, Elijah Mitchell, his rushing total set at 28.5. It's even money. His game log a year ago, after they traded for McCaffrey against teams that went below 500, and based on the point spread tonight, I think we can assume the Giants are looked at as a below 500 team. At Arizona, 9 carries, 59 yards. Versus the Saints, 7 carries, 35 yards. Versus the Cardinals, again, 5 carries, 55 yards, 2 touchdowns. Elijah Mitchell, over 28.5 rush yards. They I'm do right not there. Want McCaffrey to get hurt tonight. That's probably my favorite play.
And sorry, Dustin, but just a correlated bet there. I'm going under the 17.5 rush attempts from McCaffrey over the rush yards for Elijah Mitchell. So I'll jump on that with you with Mitchell, but then I'll correlate it with under 17.5. Okay, so plenty to unpack with this game. Let's go to Amal Shah because he did a great job coming up with this. The Daniel Jones slander will not continue on my freaking watch here on Sharp Money. Now, I set the number when just talking about over under, when you're talking about, you know, quarterbacks you'd prefer have over Jones, I think the slander is disrespectful. I set the number at 18.5. We're going to have a survivor Jones draft coming back from every break, and I'll let you start them all with your buddy. Your boo-boo. Who actually got a boo-boo 4 plays into the year. I'm assuming you think Aaron Rodgers is a little better than Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I was going to go with Mahomes, but since you were nice enough to let me get my guy in there, I'm going to go with my 4-play quarterback, Aaron Rodgers over here. I know you guys don't have the same affinity for him that I do. I guess you don't understand greatness, guys.
Hey, I will say this, because you know I'm a big America guy. You guys discuss. I am. What are you laughing about?
It sounds like Dustin would say to me.
I do. America rules. Did you notice like that when he came out with the flag? I got legit chills. That was pretty cool when Rodgers came out. Now that's the most running he's done all season. But anywho, okay. So Rodgers, I'll write this down. We're going to do the Daniel Jones survivor. Obviously, I'll go Mahomes. And big guy, you get to throw one in here.
We'll go Lamar Jackson, my boo boo.
Okay. All good.
I like our first 3 picks.
I think those 3 picks are pretty good. Okay, so let's get back to this game. I mentioned the big issue tonight, and you can go Asian handicap on 3-quarter sacks for Nick Bosa as well. Nick Bosa has like pressures all over the place. He has literally 0 sacks on the year. But this is, just perilous for Daniel Jones tonight. Amal, you mentioned it. It's a defense in the 49ers that is great, kind of containing quarterbacks on the run, but Jones is going to be on the run tonight. Andrew Thomas is by far and away the Giants' best offensive frontman, and he's the left tackle. So he is, and my assumption is they like to move Bosa all over the place. My assumption is they'll be lining him up on the left side and letting him rip tonight.
It's not just Bosa. You got Drake Jackson, Eric Armstead. I mean,
team's stupid. It's a stupid
team.
The
team's so dumb loaded. It's Shanahan doesn't win a Super Bowl with this team. That's bad job.
But this is why Shanahan is so brilliant, because he believes in his system so much. He never has to pay a quarterback and can pay all the other pieces around it. I just love the idea of a roster construction where I can constantly just rotate all these pieces at quarterback because I believe in my offense and pay these weapons on the outside, the weapons on defense, and they're just an insane roster.
So, Patrick, you haven't had a chance to answer this question. We talked about this in the summer in July when we were talking about the Niners, and I know you agree on this one. They've got the best 21 minus the quarterback in the National Football League.
Yes, sir.
It's not even close. But I'd make this argument going one step further. They've got 6 to 7 players at their respective positions that are 1, 2, or 3. And when I talk about Brandon Ayuk, I talk about him as the 1, 2, or 3 second best receiver as a compliment potentially. I get there's a Waddle out there, but I kind of look at him as a 1. Maybe you sit there and say that's not a fair argument. You got 2 receivers. It's got to be Hill and Waddle. But Brandon Ayuk is criminally underrated because of the guys they've got on this offense. And if you think about the pieces around him on this team all around, the other 20 guys, not including the quarterback, Bosa, Hargrave, Fred Warner, CMC, Debo Samuel,
it's ridiculous.
Trent Williams.
The best left tackle in football.
But yeah. I mean, all these guys are 1, 2, or 3 at their respective positions, in my opinion.
I think the Ayuk piece is fascinating, and here's why. Somebody like a Jefferson hit game 1. It took Ayuk 1.5 years, right? So drafted in the first round. Was it Arizona State?
Yep.
No.
Yep.
Drafted in the first round and didn't perform his rookie year. Maybe didn't perform his sophomore year to kind of midway through till he started to feel it. I think he's a bit of a different cat, but he's got a great connection with Purdy. I totally agree with you. I think Ayuk's a superstar that's under the radar. But you just mentioned, Dustin, you mentioned it, maybe the most athletic tackle that's ever played the game at left tackle for San Francisco, up there in years, but still rated so highly. The talent Kittle, who I think they're going to involve more tonight. Elijah Mitchell, who we already discussed. Yeah, I totally agree with you. If you're just talking roster construct, would we say the Eagles, your second most talented team?
But also, I'd give San Francisco a lot of credit for just player development. Like, not all these guys were home run picks, right? There's a lot of guys they found and they created them into what they are today. Like, Debo, everyone liked him at South Carolina, but I don't think we envision him being used the way he currently is with San Francisco right now. Like, they did that with him. Elijah Mitchell's a guy from a smaller school from the Sun Belt. Like, they find guys and they develop them as well. A lot of these guys on defense, I couldn't tell you where Hufanga went to college, but guess what? He was in the Pro Bowl a year ago.
And they, by the way, they missed on my guy from South Carolina up front. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily call it a miss.
Kinlaw.
But Drake Jackson, isn't he from USC?
USC.
That kid's ridiculous.
USC,
he had three sacks against Pittsburgh. Like, he's 22 years old. Good point by you, Dustin, because even with first rounders that they've missed on, obviously they missed on the quarterback and the defensive front guy, Kinlaw, and yet they still just have depth. The depth is dumb.
And they also wasted a pick on Trey Lance. That could have been another productive guy.
That's what Patrick is saying, right? They missed the quarterback. I mean, to be honest with you guys for a second, let's just speculate. Had they hit on the quarterback, this wouldn't even be fair.
No.
We would literally be looking at this team among those great Montana teams and how great this 49ers team is. They outplayed the Chiefs in that Super Bowl.
How about this? What if Daniel Jones was the quarterback of the 49ers?
Well, then that goes against my argument. Then I would say this team is the prohibitive.
You almost got in trouble there.
Well, then by the way, prohibitive favorite.
You see what their number is over at DraftKings, the adjusted NFC West?
Oh, minus 500.
I mean, Seattle, like, at this point, just for fun, you have to take a shot at 7-1 on Seattle.
There's no question about it.
Right?
Yep. By the way, one other thing that's criminal that I did in my, you know, assessment of the Niners, I forgot to mention arguably their best player, George Kittle. Like, he's only the second best or best tight end in the National Football League, and I completely forgot about him.
I'm just throwing a bunch of numbers at you guys today because this game has a lot of layers. Like, for example, the 49ers. You know, they've won 12 straight regular season games, and you're nervous about that 10.5. Eight of those 12 wins in this win streak have been by at least 13 points. So they're blowing teams out. Also, sorry, big guy.
No, you're
concerned
good.
About laying 10.5 on Thursday night since 06. 10.5 or more as far as the number. 13-4, 76% against the spread. Go ahead.
So to your point, double-digit favorites, 40-4 straight up, 28-16 ATS on Thursdays since 1970, 13-0 straight up, 8-5 ATS since 2015. So a lot of people are scared to lay that number. As a Giants fan, I haven't officially done it yet, but there is a good chance I lay it with the 49ers.
By the way, people don't realize how impressive this win streak is during the regular season. I mean, I get we look at what the postseason is. They had the injury with Purdy last year in the NFC Championship game. But this team is just dismantling opponents.
100%. How about the fact that you can't give Shanahan and Lynch a ton of credit? They fell ass booty backwards into Brock Purdy. They didn't even want Brock Purdy to win the job. And all of a sudden, he's elite? Okay. I want to get to the team totals when we come back. And also, the Daniel Jones Survivor Draft continues.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, check out the splits. The betting splits, by far the most popular tool over at VSIN.com when you become a subscriber. Money and bets for every game, updated every 5 minutes. Actually, why don't you go ahead and take a look at the splits? I'll do this read, Dustin. You can tell us where the money is for tonight's Thursday night affair. San Francisco laying 10.5. My assumption is heavy betting from the public on San Francisco. Today's games and future events as well, all VSIN.com. We've got the Daniel Jones Survivor Draft continuing as we welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The boys, Amal Shaw, good to see him back. He is there at Circa Sports with Dustin Sweetelson. And again, this is Sharp Money. We've got Thursday night tonight. I want to get to these team totals. You got a nosebleed for San Francisco tonight. Points expected from the books. We'll get to that number. And a short one for the Giants. But just quickly on the splits, where's the money going tonight?
We've got 73% of the bets, 64% of the money on the Niners laying the 10.5, which means 36% of the handle, 27% of the bets on the New York Football Giants.
Right.
Could you do a split? Could you do a split ever in your life? What about you, Amal? Yeah.
Not overly flexible, Amal.
Close. Still pretty.
What's
still
that?
Pretty close.
I feel like it's harder for you though with your height, right?
No, actually, no. It's just you got to. Yeah, over time, you can do it. You can do the butterfly groin stretch and be good in no time.
Well, you know what they used to call Amal at Ohio State? Chuck Norris, because my man is limber. You understand? Okay.
By the way,
right,
I'd like to pick Joe Burrow.
We continue. So I mentioned the team total. So again, for new bettors, if you want to have some fun, you want to eliminate that 10.5 we've been discussing, which is a fat number for the 49ers. Although it makes sense, short week, tough spot for the Giants. And you just like to have a little fun, cheer for scoring. You don't want to hit the total, which is 43.5. Reasons, I think, to look to the under, which we can discuss as well as far as the total overall. You can talk about team totals. And so you just, Giants right now sitting 16.5, so under that 17. And how about San Francisco? Team total in the market right now set at 27.5, boys. Obviously expected to carry the load here, Amal Shaw.
Yeah, no question about it. And I'll tell you what, this Giants defense is not shown to be spectacular by any stretch. We saw Arizona move the ball effectively in the first half, and they kind of beat themselves, I thought, in the second half. It felt like they were playing the clock more than they were the opponent later in the third and fourth quarter there. I think the Niners get over this team total, but I'm going to tell you what, guys, this might come as a little bit of a surprise. I think the Giants go over 16.5. And the reason is this, because I think this game is going to be one-sided. I think the Niners covered the 10.5. But when the Niners are up, I think there could be a great opportunity for the Giants to get a backdoor score to get to 17, maybe to even 20 points. If you're going to keep them under 17.5, I believe you need a close, lower scoring game. And on top of it, you better hope the Giants don't have 10 points with about 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and they're down, say, 30-10 or something. I think it'll be a great opportunity for New York to walk the field.
Dustin?
Yeah, I think the first half total at 22.5 has me like intrigued, because I think the San Francisco 49ers could get to 22.5 almost on their own in the first half, potentially here. I mean, preparing on a short week here, Amal mentioned the Giants didn't go back home. They stayed on the West Coast. That's supposed to be an advantage, but I don't know if it really is. Here's Kyle Shanahan the other day talking about how preparing on a short week for these Thursday night football games is crazy.
You know, I saw the players a few hours ago, and it was the first time I saw them. I told him it was Wednesday morning, and the end of our first meeting, it was Thursday. It was kind of how we explained it. And tomorrow morning is Friday, but by 10 o'clock, it's the day before the game. So it's weird. We're throwing 4 days into 2 days. As coach and staff, we throw 2 days into 1 day. So it's kind of a lost for words when I can't swear up here. It's a something show as we do it, but then it's about retaining it when it slows down. Like, we got to put them all through it, the players, so we just throw it all at them. We go on and walk through it twice. We go watch it. It's just, and then it'll slow down tonight when they leave, but that's usually about sleeping and catching up. And then tomorrow, kind of when you get to the hotel, it's like, all right, now it's normal, even though it's not. But now it's Saturday night, and slow it down a little bit. I always love Thursdays or night games because
you okay,
it's
bro?
Important on the day of the game, like, to kind of review
that
your
sound
whole
down.
Week.
What is wrong with that guy? Before. Can we get that guy a plant? He should start meditating or do some yoga. He's the angriest rich person from day one, woke up. His pops is one of the great offensive minds of all time. Somehow went to Texas. Yes, we know he's Sim's best friend. Who freaking cares? My dude woke up halfway between third base and home plate and is constantly in a bad mood. Now, I don't know what he was on right there, but my man never took a breath during that conversation because it sounded like he just got back from a half marathon as well. We get it. Your job is hard. Get him a plant. Get him a rock to hug. I don't know what it is with Shanahan, but that guy, he is just always ornery.
I don't even know what the hell he said.
Dude, he was just rambling. Take it easy. Take a step back. I have to tell this to the big guy now that he's a big time host. Slow down. Take a deep breath. Be concise. Be immaculate with your words. You know what? Let's run it back. Let's just play 20 seconds of this. And again? Dustin, you tell me what Shanahan, because you talk fast. Let's find out what Shanahan was saying here. Go ahead, Mikhail. Play that again.
You know, I saw the players a few hours ago, and it was the first time I saw them. I told him it was Wednesday morning, and the end of our first meeting, it was Thursday. That's kind of how we explained it. And tomorrow morning is Friday, but by 10 o'clock, it's the day before the game. So
okay, it's weird. Pull it down. You know what that is? Remember the Jordan documentary when Rodman just ran out of things to say, so he just started going fium 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 with his hands. That's exactly what he was doing there. He goes, "Today's Wednesday, tomorrow's Thursday. By the time I finish talking, now it's going to be Friday." What was he talking about here, big guy?
Oh, I understood everything he said. So he was basically saying they were taking one day and turning it into 2 days, which I do with meals. Sometimes I take one meal and I turn it into two or three meals. Helps me get ahead in my meal planning.
The only thing I took away was that his players have no idea what day of the week it is. He goes, "I told the guys it's Wednesday, and by the end of the meeting, it was Thursday."
He's a weird cat. By the way, the expectations, 27.5 on the team total for the 49ers, boys. If you want to have some fun and you're somebody that has a bankroll and you're not concerned, you want to lay $2 for the Niners to score first, so it's minus 200. The Giants have scored first three times in their last 19 games. Three times. I think I got that from covers. Good stat there.
Well, remember,
the Niners minus 200 to score first.
They were about to be the first to score in the blowout against Dallas. They marched right down the field on a really good defense. So that first play, that designed drive to open up the game, they looked really good. Everything was clicking, and then it fell apart. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm that they could potentially push the ball down the field. At that point, it's like, who do you want to bet on? Because Saquon's out of the lineup, which opens things up for this team for who could be that first scorer. You got Danny Dimes, the shortest shot on the board, to be the first touchdown scorer for the Giants at plus 250.
You know, I want to go back to Patrick's play about minus $2 for them to score for San Francisco. It's not my style of play laying that type of number, but the numbers, what you just gave, Patrick, back up your assertion of taking this. Think about this. They're 4-15 in their last 19 games to score first. And you've got a team that's very efficient. And by the way, if people are unfamiliar with Jake Moody, the field goal kicker for the 49ers, this guy doesn't have a leg. This guy has an absolute cannon. I mean, I'm telling you right now, he may not be as good of a kicker as so many other guys in the league, but from a leg strength standpoint, I'd put him up against anybody in the league right now today without question.
Okay, there it is. Yeah, I'm like you, Amal. I would generally stay away from that price, but the idea of the 49ers scoring first tonight, juicy, juicy, juicy. Okay, let's do this. Let's get back to our Daniel Jones draft. So this started because of slander from one Amal Shaw on Daniel Jones. I understand that it was a second half blast from Jones, who went for 259, two touchdowns and a rushing touchdown against Arizona. This defense certainly is not Arizona tonight, big guy, but he was awesome in that second half. And he saved the bacon. Isn't that a slogan? He saved the bacon of a lot of people that are playing in that contest right over your shoulders right now.
Yeah.
Because how many would have been eliminated if the Giants lost in Arizona?
13 or 1400.
Yeah, another 13, 1400.
And we've already going into week three, we've got a third eliminated from the Survivor contest. And so we hunt 9 million. Why not? Let's go. Rodgers, Mahomes, and Jackson. Dustin, we'll let you start here. Go ahead. Add another one in front of Daniel Jones.
We will go with Jalen Hurts.
Okay. Walshaw?
Joe Burrow.
Burrow, it's a pretty good one. I'll say, you know, for fun, I'll say Matthew Stafford.
I think that's correct. I don't have any argument with any of those.
I think that's fair. So Rodgers, Mahomes, Jackson, Hurts, Burrow, Stafford already. Are we going to get to 19? That is the question, because we've set the number just randomly.
It's thinning out. 18.
It's thinning out, did you say?
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I think it's definitely under.
No, I'm going to tell. It's going to probably be under, but there's going to be about 3 to 4 guys we're all on the fence on, and that'll be the determining factor.
Okay, we shall see. When we come back, we got some news, some big news as far as the NFL, including a couple quarterbacks doubtful. Added to that doubtful list, we've got a trade, a running back moving from the left coast to the middle of the country, and also some weather to look for with a tropical cyclone hitting the Atlantic seaboard at Eastern Coast come Sunday. We'll discuss. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Legere Doosable coming up, but first, we're back. DraftKings with another exciting week three, of course, kicks off tonight, and new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw $5 down and any of this week's epic matchups and walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, of course, so download the app right now and use the code SHARP. Again, new customer, can't beat this. DraftKings, $5 to get $200. Why not? The crown is yours only on DraftKings Sportsbook. Okay, we welcome you back. I'm Al Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got Thursday Night Football to discuss. Legere Doosable joins us. CBS Sports, NFL, ESPN college football analyst. This kid's killing it. He's doing a great job. SiriusXM as well. You can check Legere on Twitter, at Legere Doosable. Of course, 10 years in the NFL. Spent some time with the Giants, the 49ers, amongst others. We say hi, Legere, and as we say hi, I want to start here. Talk about the travel situation for the Giants. It's a short week, stuck around in Arizona. They head up to Santa Clara for this matchup. This is a tough spot for the Giants.
Yeah, it definitely is. And not to add, you know, onto that, but this is the home opener for the 49ers. So, you know, the fans are going to be rabid for this game. But I thought Ryan Daboll and staff did a really good job of staying on the West Coast, right? Because on a short week, your clock gets sped up already, right? So as soon as you end the game, it's essentially already Tuesday as far as the work week, right? So like by the time you get to meetings on Monday, you go through the film of what happened on Sunday, but you're already game planning for your Thursday night game. So it's essentially Wednesday by the time Monday afternoon hits already, and you'll do a walkthrough that day. And let's not also forget the injury bug has really hit the New York Giants, right? You're going to be missing your left tackle. You're going to be missing another starter on the offensive line. You're going to be missing Saquon Barkley. So the injury bug has hit them as well. I think it will help them staying on the West Coast, because it would have been terrible from them to be in Arizona and then travel all the way back to New York and then travel all the way back out to the West Coast to play the 49ers. And I think that's why the schedule makers made it that way, so that the team could stay on the West Coast. But it sucks already to be on a short week, but now you're missing key contributors on the offense and defense. It's going to be a tall task for the New York Giants come tonight versus the 49ers.
Jay, two-part question here. First of all, how do you evaluate Daniel Jones and your personal assessment of him? And second, being a former defensive end, how difficult is it with a guy who has the speed, or at least the running capability of a Daniel Jones, when trying to contain him and what he does offensively?
Yeah, when you're evaluating Daniel Jones and you look at the back half of last year, and this goes into the hoopla of what happened this offseason, where Daniel Jones got paid and Saquon didn't and essentially had to sign the franchise tag. If you look at the first eight games of the season or seven games of the season, offense really ran through Saquon Barkley. But if you look at that back half, right, and then even into the playoff game versus the Minnesota Vikings, right, the offense ran through Daniel Jones. I mean, there was games where Daniel Jones rush more than Saquon Barkley. Matter of fact, in the playoff game versus the Minnesota Vikings, he had more rush yards. So they started to kind of use Daniel Jones like Josh Allen in Buffalo. And let's not forget, that's where Brian Daboll came from. So when you're talking about the assessment, like, I believe the Giants made the right decision, right? And we can go back and forth about this, whether to pay the running back, and not every running back is created equal. But honestly, you can look at it from both ways. We've seen Austin Eckler go down. We've seen Saquon Barkley go down. We saw Nick Chubb with a gruesome injury on Monday night. So if you're ownership, you're like, I don't want to pay running backs because they're not in a win-win situation, right? They're in a position where guys routinely do get hurt, and the threat on the tire, it's a lot different in their position than other positions, right? Once guys get like 27, 28, you see the trajectory of their performances going down. Like, those are facts. Those are history. You can look at the history books and see that, right? But then you look at the backs, right? When you have a Nick Chubb and he's so prevalent in the offense, when you have a Christian McCaffrey, right? These guys are different than every other running back, especially Christian McCaffrey for what he does as far as catching the ball out of the backfield. You're like, well, I should be paid a certain amount because I'm not treated like every other running backs. So it's just it's a weird situation. But getting back to Daniel Jones, right? Really struggled in week one. I don't know if you can fairly assess him because everybody on the Giants team sucked in week one, honestly, from offense, defense, and special teams. But what you really like was how he bounced back in the second half. I mean, I believe it was, what, four or six straight quarters without them scoring any points. And then in the second half alone, Daniel Jones was able to come out in the second half and not punt one time. five straight scoring drives, right? Was efficient with the football. And we talked about his legs, right? He had 50 rush yards in the second half. That 250 pass yards was Arizona in the second half. Now, you would hope that he could build on that, right, as far as going forward. But again, he's got a stingy defense he's playing that's going to be pissed off because they gave up more points than they're accustomed to last week versus the LA Rams. So anytime you have a mobile quarterback as a defensive lineman, right, as a defense period, right, that's an extra added person in the box you have to account for, right? So you always hear people say plus 11. That's what it means with the quarterback being mobile, right? Because that's an extra body you have to account for, which you usually don't if a quarterback isn't mobile. But with Daniel Jones' leg, you definitely have to account him into the defensive scheme.
LeJay Duzable joins us here, doing a great job. Okay, so until Jones retires, excuse me, Aaron Donald retires, he's the GOAT, LeJay. And then Micah Parsons, dude, the kid's ridiculous. But settle an argument. And you can speak on this 10 years at defensive end in the league. So tell us the difference between TJ Watt and Nick Bosa, and who's better?
Ooh, that's a tough one, man. I'm going to have to get the edge of Nick Bosa. I know people will be like, well, look at what TJ Watt does and the numbers he's put up. And I get that, right? And you got to think they're in two different schemes, right? One's a 3-4 outside linebacker, right? And one's a 4-3 defensive end. And just to break down the nuances of that, when you're looking at the 3-4, right, you're looking at three big defensive linemen, and then you have two edge guys, right, which is what Alex Highsmith is, and that's what TJ Watt is, right? So as far as responsibilities, sometimes they do have to drop in coverage, and most of the time their job is to get after the quarterback. When you look at a guy like Nick Bosa in the 4-3, right, he's a guy that rarely ever comes off the field, and T.J. Watt rarely comes off the field too, but he's an elite run defender as well, right? And T.J. Watt does a really good job of slipping some blocks, right, and being more athletic than guys trying to block him out in space. And this is not me saying that he's not a great player. He's definitely a great player. I would just lean towards Nick Bosa because he's an elite, the run defender, as far as setting the edge, right, being able to make plays on the backside of the run. And this guy came off an ACL and had 15 and a half. And then he won up that the next year by going 18 and a half and winning defensive player of the year. Now, TJ Watt was banged up last year, I believe, had the torn pec, came back late, wasn't the same. So he's coming off an injury too. And he already has four sacks this year. So, I mean, you're literally grasping at hairs, but I would lean towards Nick Bosa being a little bit better just because of the complete player. Not to say that TJ Watt isn't a complete player, but as far as what he does against the run, I like Nick Bosa just a little bit better.
Love it. Great answer.
LeJay, go ahead, Amal. LeJay, give us a breakdown on where the blame falls in Chicago. Quarterback, coaching staff. Give us an idea of what your assessment is on Fields as well.
Yeah, just looking at the film, man, and people will come at Justin Fields, and rightfully so, right? Because when you're the quarterback, you're the leader of the locker room, right? You take all the blame, even when things aren't your fault, and you get a lot of the praise, right? But your job as a quarterback is to relish some of that praise to your teammates, even when you do go above and beyond, right, at the quarterback position. So if you look at Justin Fields, right, in this offense, I have the same issue that I had last year. Seems like Luke Getsy is trying to make him a prototypical pocket quarterback. And that's not who Justin Fields is. Like, if you look at what they did the first four games of last season, right? I think it was around that Minnesota game is where there was like a switch went off in Luke Getsy's head. He was like, let me start getting Justin Fields on some design quarterback runs, right? And then that led to his confidence in throwing the football. And people will say, how can a quarterback running lead to his confidence in throwing? Well, if you pick up a couple first downs with your legs, right? And then you have these RPO concepts where you can have a run pass option off it, get your quarterback some easy throws, that builds confidence in your quarterback, right? So it was the Minnesota game where we saw him be very efficient. It was more efficient than the first three games of the season. Then everybody remembers that Thursday night game where they ran the ball down the New England Patriots' throat. I don't think anybody thought the Chicago Bears were going to go into New England and straight up punk them. And that's exactly what happened that game, right? And I think a lot of people were excited because we saw how electric Justin Fields was, and we felt like maybe the offense would stay like that, right? And now that he has some weapons on the outside, we could see an even better Justin Fields. But just looking at the first two games, it's a regression of what they did in the first three or four games last year. And the concepts, I just don't get the concepts. Like, talking football, you know, without over talking football, right? Like the spacing, like the receivers are on top of each other in a lot of these concepts when Justin Fields is dropping back and passing out. Does he need to get better? Definitely, as far as going through his progressions and knowing where to go with the football. But there's no spacing on offense at all. So I blame Luke Getsy. I blame the offensive line. They've struggled, but Justin Fields needs to get better as well.
Legay Doosable, enjoyed the conversation, man. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Coming back, Josh Applebaum.
Appreciate it.